So, I have to tell you a story of addiction. So, and in fact, my goal is to get you addicted too, and furthermore to transmit it to your students. It's horrible, isn't it? So, it starts 12 years ago or so, and I bought my first digital camera. And, you know, I took lots and lots of pictures of my kids, but I also got obsessed with taking pictures of patterns in the plane. And the funny thing is that there are exactly 17 types, no more, no less. Okay? Exactly 17 types, no more, no less. And it's kind of fun when you see a pattern in the plane to try to figure out which one it is. And it's even more fun to try to capture all of them. And, you know, the first 10 or so are easy to find, you just find them everywhere. And then the last one took me about 2 years until I finally found a real life sample of it in a real place. But, you know, the story will come. Even before the story, my talk follows a handout. I hope you all have a copy. And there's also a URL for the talk. And throughout the talk, there are various places where there are further references. So they're indicated as /, where W means this very long URL. Okay? And again, my goal is to get you hooked and hopefully get you to transmit it further. It's completely horrible. There are at least two books on the topic. Here they are. The first one is by, in fact, the second one. This one came out first by Montesinos, and the second one is by John Conway and several other people. And John Conway is the person who got me hooked. So let's continue. And I want to continue with a story that appears unrelated. So suppose we were living on Venus, the planet Venus. What would life look like? So, you know, the quick answer is that life would be very, very, very short. Because the temperature is like 400 degrees or 500 degrees. We'd be dead before we know it. But let's pretend this isn't the case. So in fact, let's pretend we live on Earth, but we have permanent cloud cover. Same as on Venus. Permanent thick clouds. No astronomy. We don't see the sun. We know it's hot, but we don't know why. We don't see the stars. Okay? We never come to the idea by looking outside that our planet is a ball, is round. Okay? So we stick with the old idea that our planet is a big disk, maybe on top of a turtle or something. We stick with this idea for a long, long time, hundreds of years, thousands of years more than we stuck with it with our present astronomy. I have to say that mathematics would take, and physics would take a big hit as well, because astronomy was the impetus for the development of much of mathematics, basically, and physics. Basically, nowhere else do you see completely periodic, completely repeating patterns that you get tempted to analyze with precision. Everything else you see in sort of ordinary life has much less precision and much, much less repeatability. So, I mean, for a long, long time, we would think the Earth looks like that, okay? But then after, you know, thousand years more, you know, so Columbus would not have this idea of reaching to India the other way, because it's completely impossible, right? But then some odd traveler starting, say, in North America would get drifted, you know, would drift on the Gulf Stream, and then would hike along around Asia, and then drift across the Pacific in some bizarre way, and oh my God, we'll come back to where she started. That reminds me, by the way, I don't know, should I spend a minute telling you a Jewish folklore story? Should I, Maria?
Sure,
you
yes.
heard it already.
It's good. It's a really fun story.
So okay, so you know, there's the Polish town of Chełm, and the Jewish population of the according to Jewish folklore, the Jewish population of the of that town is, well, the people there are stupid. Sorry, it's not polite to say it, but that's the folklore. So one day, Rabbi Geitzel decided to go see the big city of Warsaw, and he lives in Chełm. So he wakes up in the morning and starts hiking towards Warsaw. In the middle of the day, he got tired and decided to take a nap. So he took a nap on the side of the road, but you know, he wanted to know which direction to go, and he wakes up. So he puts his shoes on the side of the road with the toes pointing in the direction of Warsaw. Takes the nap, and a carriage passes by and somehow flips the shoes over. So he wakes up and continues walking in the direction that the toes are showing. And by the evening, he comes to Warsaw. And oh my God, it looks exactly like Chełm. He walks around a little bit more, and oh my God, here's my street. Oh my God, here's my wife, my house, my wife, my kids. So he stays there. He just decided to stay there forever. And everything was wonderful. He lived there happily ever after, except occasionally he would feel a bit sorry about the wife and the kids that he left behind in Chełm. So our traveler would have the same thing. In fact, no, that's not what would happen. Our traveler will tell people that he went around the world and came back, well, sorry, that he went a long, 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 long way east and came back where he was, and he would be she would be immediately executed because it's blasphemy. It contradicts the flat earth fact that we all know, okay? But then another person would go further east and, oh my God, come back to the same place. And then, you know, that person would be executed too, but then it will happen again and again and again, and at some point expeditions will be sent to completely rule out this silly possibility that you can go back where you started by going only east. But eventually the fact will be accepted, and a new theory of Earth will have to be developed. And probably the theory will be that Earth, because it has to be flat, right? So probably the theory will be that Earth is a long, 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 infinitely long strip with a repeating pattern on it. You know, the continents, then the continents again, then the continents again. That would be the second theory. And then maybe another 500 years later, some crazy mathematicians would come up with the bizarre idea. It's only a model, it's only an idealization, it's only a theory, right? I mean, the Earth is flat, but we can also model it by thinking that it's a cylinder. Oh, come on, how can it be a cylinder? We would fall off, right? But I mean, just for the sake of the model, let's think that it's a cylinder with the continents going around it. And when you go around, you're actually going around the cylinder. And of course, there are dragons and Pokemons on the sides to guard it, and ice cubes at the bottom and at the top, because we know that at the bottom and the top, there it's too cold to go, right? And then, you know, hundreds of years later, travelers would actually go across the ice cubes, and eventually, maybe, we would come up with this model, okay? So now, back to my original question, or to the question in the title of the talk, what would the ants, an ant living on Luke Kaufman is a sort of well-known mathematician and a friend of mine, so what would an ant living on his thigh, I actually have his thigh here, what would an ant living on his thigh think? Okay? So it walks around, and eventually it comes back to where it started. It's a mathematically minded ant. So
eventually it would come to the idea that actually maybe the universe is curved. Okay? Maybe I'm not so sort of it would be the opposite of sort of reality of the Venusian reality. So, you know, it would come to the idea that when I go from here to here, maybe I'm not going to a different place. Maybe I'm going to the same place, but my planet is somehow bent. What would it think? So that's the question I want to answer. What did I do? Oh my God, what did I do? I messed up. But before that, I want to start with, it turns out to be too hard, so let me start with an easier question. What would a lizard think if it lives on the Renaissance Hotel in Jerusalem? Okay? There was a bad tourist season, all the rooms were closed, they looked exactly the same. A lizard can walk around, what would it think? So here's the Renaissance Hotel slightly enlarged. The lizard starts walking around, and it finds that if it goes to the right a certain length of time, it comes back to where it started, right? Because, well, I mean, if it's at the sort of balcony, it goes to the right a certain length of time, it comes to a balcony that looks exactly the same. And also, if it goes up a certain length of time, it comes back to precisely where it started. What would it think? So it's a very smart lizard, and after some hours of thought, it would come up to with the conclusion that the world is actually a single rectangle, like the rectangle shown here in red. Okay? Such a rectangle is, by the way, called a fundamental domain for this particular symmetry. So it would think that the fundamental domain is a rectangle, but it's not quite a rectangle. Okay, this is like thinking that planet Earth is a rectangle. It's not a rectangle because things are glued to each other at the sides. Okay, so how are the sides of this rectangle glued to each other? Well, when you walk to the right, you reappear on the left. And when you walk to the top, you reappear at the bottom. So the universe of this lizard looks like a rectangle for which the side is glued to the side and the top is glued to the bottom. What is this world? What does it look like? So let's perform this gluing. If I glue side to side, the result, well, if you take a rectangular piece of paper and glue side to side, right, the result is a cylinder. So the result of the first gluing is a cylinder, but I still have to glue top to bottom. Now, gluing top to bottom will not happen without bending, so I bend a little bit. And what do you get? Well, here is a cylinder, here is the top, here is the bottom. The dimensions are, the proportions are different to make it easier for me to actually do the gluing. But if I glue the top to the bottom, what I get is a donut or a bagel or what mathematicians call a torus. So the result of the second gluing will be what mathematicians call a torus. And here's a picture of one by Tom Longtin, and if you click on this, on the PDF version, or if you go to this URL, you'll find the original picture. Okay? So our lizard thinks it lives on a torus. Now, one word, the name of this pattern, the name of this universe, one of the 17, is... Well, okay, it has many different names depending on which classification system you use, but in my classification system, it is called the empty set. Why? So by the way, this is the mathematical notation for the empty set. Why the empty set? Because it turns out that all patterns, all symmetries that we will discuss have this property that when you go to the in one direction a certain amount, you come back to where you started, and when you go in another direction a certain amount, you come back to where you started. So since this appears everywhere, I just forget about it. Okay? And I say, this symmetry has nothing beyond what appears everywhere else. So my name for it is nothing. Okay? And all the symmetries I will study later have something more. Conway calls it zero, and I suppose for the same reason. Okay? And let's look for more. So here is a building near Lake Merritt in Oakland, California. So half the pictures are in California because 12 years ago I was on sabbatical. No, it was 14 years ago. I was on sabbatical in California. So what does a lizard living on this building think? So here is this building enlarged. And what symmetries do we see here beyond the obvious, beyond the one that appears everywhere? Anybody sees anything more? Sort of, what does this building have that the Renaissance Hotel didn't have? What more in terms of symmetry? So again, it has this symmetry that, you know, you go to the right, you come back where you started, you go up, you come back where you started, but there is more. An ant living here would be even further confused. Sorry, a lizard. Yes?
There's a symmetry of depth as well.
Depth. Actually, I don't think there is, no. So, okay, there are two things I want to say. First of all, I'm restricting my attention today to the plane.
Okay.
Everything, I don't care about depth today.
Okay.
In fact, at the very end, I will say something about monkeys, but right now I'm talking about things that live in the plane. So depth doesn't matter. But also, actually, there isn't, because, you know, if you walk out, you fall off. If you walk in, you get into the air conditioning. It's not symmetric. Depth here is not a symmetry. Yes?
There's something that looks like boundaries between the units. Like there's this long...
But what do the what symmetry is there along the boundaries? Is there, what kind of symmetry is there here beyond just moving to the right or moving up and then repeating? So there is another way in which things repeat here. So, okay, the answer is, well, you're right that this is a good line to look at, but if you had put a mirror along this line, what's on the left is the same as what's on the right. This is not true for the Renaissance picture. If you put a mirror over here or anywhere, what you see on the left is not the same as what you see on the right. Okay? But here there is something beyond. Beyond the Renaissance picture. So, right, so if you put a mirror here, or what we will, I'll call it a mirror or a reflection line, then anything you see on the left is the same as what you see on the right. Is this the only further symmetry? So, okay. There is another mirror I can put. I could put another mirror right here. But in some sense, this is the same. There is no reason to say it again, because the moment I know my pattern is repeating, if I have this mirror and I go one further period, I could place a mirror over here. Okay? From the perspective of the lizard, this mirror is the same as that mirror. Good. Is there anything more? So, well, you see, I could place another mirror over here, right? In the middle of each balcony. If you look to the right from the middle or from the, to the left from the middle, there is again a mirror symmetry. But this mirror is not the same as that one. An ant, a lizard, standing very near this mirror would feel completely different than a lizard standing very near this mirror, right? Here, it would be on a concrete pile, column. And here, it would be on the sort of middle of a balcony, okay? So there are two mirrors here, and they are completely different. So, and in fact, that's it. You cannot think of anything more, there isn't anything more, and my notation for this pattern would be MM. Conway would call it star, star, and maybe I should add, what do the lizards or the ants think? So what does a lizard thinking, living on this world, what does it think? Okay? So, the answer is, well, what happens when you come, when you approach a mirror? So, the lizard comes to the end, sort of comes to the, to the end of this, of this unit cell of her fundamental domain, comes out of it, and realizes that she comes back in, but somehow with left replaced by right. Whatever used to, when she came in this way, whatever used to be on her right, now would be on her left. Okay? So she comes, so what model would the lizard build for it? So there are several possibilities, but here is one particular lovely model for this that the lizard could have come up with. So the lizard could have thought that the world is some picture printed on glass. Okay, rather than printed on paper as before, it's printed on glass. And it has an edge. And then when you go over the edge, you come back on the other side. You see the same picture, but you see it reversed. Okay? So locally, when the lizard comes out this way, she thinks she goes over the edge of the world and comes back on the other side. Okay? But this is what happens this near this mirror. A similar thing should happen near this mirror. And what's the overall picture? So the overall picture is again a rectangle with a mirror or a reflecting boundary on the left. Another mirror or a reflecting boundary on the right, and then there is the symmetry that I don't bother to name of going one unit up, so this is the same as that. And what do you get when you take a piece of glass with a picture on it, with boundaries on the side, and you glue top to bottom? Well, you get a cylinder, except that this cylinder is made of glass and something is printed on it and there's something at the top and sort of when you go out of the top you come back on the inside and I'm sorry about that and that's it. Okay? So here's a physical model. So a lizard living on a cylinder like that, the thing I printed on it is the map of Earth. This is in fact the same map of Earth that before had two ice cubes on top, right? But so a lizard living here, you know, when walking, actually, it's actually shown, it's actually it's sort of geometrically, it stands this way. So when the lizard goes up, it goes around and comes back to where it started. And when it goes to the right, when it goes to the right, it flips over and starts walking back on the inside and likewise on the left. So the second universe for a lizard would be a cylinder with a reflecting boundary. Okay, let's move on. What else could we have? So, here's the answer, and here is a wallpaper that I found in a Thai restaurant, again in Berkeley. And what does a lizard, or maybe now it should be a roach, living on this wall think? So, okay, I already marked the obvious. So there is a mirror going through this line. There is another mirror going through that line. But there's something else. And the something else here is actually very hard to tell. It takes a long time to stare at this picture and figure out what the extra symmetry is. So let me tell you, again, because it's a hard one, and the answer, the further symmetry, is that in between these two lines, right in the middle, there is another vertical line on which there is a strange symmetry called G, or glide reflection. And what a glide reflection means is that if you flip over the universe, so if you reflect the universe, you don't come back to where you were, but rather you come back to where you were, but with a shift up, with a glide in the up direction or the down, it doesn't matter. So here is, so try to visualize it. Here's the line in the middle. If I reflect this way, then this flower or whatever it is is not repeated, but it is repeated one unit up. Okay? So the next pattern is what I would call a mirror and a glide reflection, and Conway would call it star circle. I don't know, that's his notation. And what is it that an ant living here would think? Or a roach living on this pattern would think? So, sorry, I only have 1 hour. I'm not going to tell you. I'm going to tell you the answer, but I leave it for you to figure out why. So the answer is sort of the same as this, meaning it's a band. You know what? I'll make one right now. So it's a band with its ends glued to each other, except instead of gluing them straight the way you did in order to get the previous pattern, the previous universe, you glue it with a twist, like this. So you get this object. And again, I didn't quite tell you the truth, because the edge of this object is made of a reflecting material, or it's the reflecting edge. So like here, when an ant walks over the edge, it comes back on the other side. So really, it looks like I had one over here. This is it. It's called the Mobius band. Escher is fond of this picture, of drawing them. Here's a better drawing than anything I could have ever drawn myself. So let me add it to the table. and move on. So here it is. So it's a Möbius band. And here's the next possibility. So this is a tie I found in a computer store in the Bay Area, Fry's Electronics it's called. It's a huge computer store. What symmetries do you see here? Okay. I gave you half the answer. In fact, unfortunately, in the handout, the full answer is shown. But anyway, don't look. So anyway, there is a glide reflection along this line, right? Here is the line. If I reflect, then, well, things don't come back to where they were, but instead, if I reflect and shift up by one unit, then things come back to where they were. This computer becomes this computer, and this pattern, I don't know what to call it, head with hat, maybe, comes back to be this head with hat. Okay? What else do I have? So here is something sort of a bit of a warning. Here is something I don't have. So there is no symmetry whatsoever along this line. It's tempting to think that there is. If you stare at it for a few seconds, you think there is. But in fact, there isn't. Because you see, there is only the sort of empty symmetry, the one that I don't talk about. Just if you go two units up, you come back where you were. But if you reflect, you don't come back to where you were. Because, again, think of the head with hat. Here, the head is far from the axis. And here, the head is right next to the axis. If I were to reflect this, the head would be far instead of near. Okay? So there is no glide reflection along this. And in fact, you know, on first thought, you would think that the fundamental domain, sort of the universe of an ant living here, is made of one PC and one head with hat. So you would think that the fundamental domain is sort of a rectangle like this, which has a PC on one side and a head with hat on the other side. But in fact, there are two distinct PCs here. This PC is not the same as that PC. An ant walking around this laptop would see two heads on its sides. An ant walking around on that laptop would see two hats on its sides. So if an ant walked from this laptop to this laptop, from this PC to this PC, it will not think it came back to where it was. Okay? It will think it came to something that looks, you know, there are streets in Warsaw that looks like the streets in Chelm, but the neighboring streets look different, so it's not the same place. Okay, so in fact, there are two types of PCs, and there are also two types of heads with hats. Because, you see, say you are on this head with hat, if you go to the direction where the hat is pointing, you come to blue. And if you're here, if you go to the direction where the hat is pointing, you come to head. So this head with hat is not the same as that head with hat. So in fact, the fundamental domain for an ant living on this tie will be, well, two PCs, PC of type 1, PC of type 2, which are distinguished by their neighborhood, and two heads with hats, head hat 1 and head hat 2, and again, they are distinguished by their neighborhood. So the fundamental domain would look like this long rectangle here, okay? But still, what's the other symmetry, yes?
Could it be a 2x2 as well? Or?
It could be a 2x2.
Okay.
So, I mean, I have chosen, you know, this is sort of like asking, you know, in this long picture of Earth, there are many choices for what the fundamental domain would be. You could choose it to be from GMT to the next GMT, from Greenwich, from London to the next London, okay? Or you could choose it to be a line going diagonally along this, whatever, part of Asia and continuing through the Indian Ocean to the next line to going diagonally this way. Or there are, of course, you know, many more, many further choices. So there are many choices for what the, I don't know what's going on here. It's so there are many choices for what the fundamental domain could be, but here is one choice. An ant living within this fundamental domain is never returning to where it was, and the moment it goes out, it comes back to a place which is within the fundamental domain. Okay? So this long rectangle is one valid choice, and as you said correctly, there are other valid choices. Okay? But still, what is the other symmetry that I'm still missing? Well, you probably all picked at the handout by now, so you know that there is a second glide reflection along this line. Right? So there is one here, there is one here, there isn't one in the middle, but there is one here. And so my name for this symmetry would be two glide reflections. Conway's name for this symmetry would be circle, circle. So circle for him is a glide reflection. And this is not a circle, this is the number zero. Okay? And so actually in print, they appear in different sizes. Okay? But what does the ant think? What does this universe look like? So let's spend some time analyzing it. So again, the fundamental domain is a long rectangle. So a rectangle that looks like this. And what happens when I try to exit this rectangle? So if I exit on the right, okay? Well, depends where on the right. If I exit into this blue, I come up into that blue here. I come in into this blue. If I exit into the head, I come into this head. Right? So basically, the left is glued to the right, with the top part of the of this with the tops of the sides glued to the tops, and the bottoms glued to the bottoms. So it's the same gluing as before, left to right. But something weird happens at the top and bottom. So if I exit, again, here is my fundamental domain. If I exit towards the top, but on the right side, so if I exit from PC2, I come into a head, well, okay, sorry, let's exit towards the very corner. I come into blue. Where would I be entering? I would be entering, yeah, oops, did I make a wrong choice? Where would I be entering? So this one, this box is, it's this one.
No, it's HH1.
It's this one?
Yes.
No, you see, if I look, if I check where the, oh, you're yawning.
Oh.
I think I made a mistake. I made a mistake. This is the correct this is a correct fundamental domain, but it would be a bit hard to analyze it. Okay? So basically, if I come out here, I'd be coming back in here. And if I come out here, I'd be coming back Well, I don't know. I mean, this will be a bit hard to analyze. I'm sorry, I made a mistake. Let's look at, so forget this red, forget this red rectangle, and let's look at the red rectangle which is one unit above it. And I think it's the one that's easier to analyze. It will give you the same result, but it will be a bit easier to analyze. So again, if I go to the right, I come back on the left. If I go out at the top, I come into a PC, which is I made again a mistake. So maybe I should have. Maybe I should have followed your advice. Sorry.
Do a
2x2. So let's take the 2x2 here. If I go to exit on the right, I come back here. Yeah. I'm sorry, I messed up. So I know what the result should be, but I simply picked the wrong.
Tell us what the result should be, and we'll find it.
I can tell you what the result should be, but it will be. It's a bit tougher than I thought. It really bothers me. I should get it right. So let me try one further thing, and if it fails, I will acknowledge my defeat. So let's continue this pattern here. One further unit. And let's see. Below PC1, so again, if PC1 was this, below it, I see HH2. No. I see it the same as that. So HH1.
It's not the pattern that's important in the space.
You know what? Okay, sorry. This was. Let me redraw it. Okay, and I'm. So let me draw. I think what I need in order to really understand it is a 2x4 thing. And let's take the 2x4 that goes from this 2x2 to the next one. So I have a PC1, PC1, HH1, HH2, PC2, and then one unit to the right, I have this PC is the same as that PC. Is it? Yes. So this one is PC2. So this one is PC2, HH2. PC1, uh, H, no, HH1, PC1, and I think the, I wish there was a color chart, there is, and I think the fundamental domain that will make it relatively easy, believe it or not, is this one. And I'm sorry for the blunder. Okay, so now, if you look at this fundamental domain, you find that the left is glued to the right. So basically, no, oh my God. The left is glued to, no. Okay, sorry, I blundered. I surrender. I prepared something without thinking enough. I should tell you what the answer will be, and I should be able somewhere in the picture to find a rectangle with left glued to right and top glued to bottom, but with a reverse orientation. And I failed to find it. I didn't prepare it, and I got it wrong. So, but what is it geometrically? So what does an ant living on this fundamental domain think? Well, first you glue left to right as before, and you get a cylinder as before. Okay? But then you have to glue top to bottom. But you have to glue them with opposite orientations. So if you go around clockwise here, you should be going around counterclockwise on the other side. Gluing with the same orientation amounts to creating a cylinder. Gluing with the opposite orientation, well, you cannot do it in three-dimensional space. What you'd have to do is to let this come in and glue from the inside. Okay? And the result is what is called the Klein bulb. So you take a cylinder or a long tube, and you take the top of this tube and you connect it to the bottom, but from the inside. So it has to pass through itself. However, this passing through itself is only sort of an artifact of being in three dimensions. If we were in four dimensions, and you know, it's already blasphemy to think that we live in three dimensions. We're ants, after all. Thinking that we're one dimension up is not any bigger blasphemy. So, basically, this should be passing through without contact. An ant walking on this tube cannot move on to the bottle, part. An ant walking on the neck of the bottle cannot move on to the bottle. It has to continue on the neck. And an ant walking on the bottle does not see that this neck passes through. So the result is the so-called Klein bottle. And sorry for blundering. Okay. Next. Okay. So you see, we found so far only two local types of symmetry, the mirror and the glide reflection. But the claim is that there are 10. There are exactly 10 different things, that features, that can happen within a symmetric pattern, no more, no less. And again, I'm not going to prove this claim, I only want to tell you what they are so that when you see them in nature, you recognize them. And here are those 10. So they are M and G as before, but also 2, 3, 4, and 6, and 2 bar, 3 bar, 4 bar, and 6 bar. And let's try to find them in various pictures. So this is floor tiling in the Gion district in Kyoto. And you know, this is where all the geishas are. So other people were taking pictures of geishas, I was taking pictures of floor tiles. And here is a 3. A 3 just means rotation by 120 degrees. Okay? So A rotation by 120 degrees is a rotation that, when repeated three times, makes a full rotation. Hence, it's called three. If you rotate by 120 degrees, the pattern comes back to itself. Here's a six. A six is a rotation by 60 degrees, which means that if you do it six times, you come back to where you were. So, or if you want, it's a rotation of 1/6 of the full thing. And here's a two. So in the middle of the, so the six is in the middle of each tile. The three is where three tiles meet. And the two is on the line in the middle of the edge between two tiles. Basically, if you, if you rotate here one half of a full rotation, you come back to where you were. Now, there are no mirrors in this symmetry. Because you see, if you look at all of these fans, okay, at each vertex, you can see a fan, okay, a line curved to the left, and another line curved to the left, and another one line curved to the left. And over here, it's a line curved to the left, and another line curved to the left, and another one curved to the left, right? So all of these fans are curved, are turning the same way. Had there been a reflection, some of the fans would be turning one way, and some of the top fans would be turning the opposite way. So there cannot be a reflection here. Now, since G is just a glide reflection, it's a reflection along with a glide, but in particular, it has a reflection in it, there are no G's as well. So the three, maybe there are other things, but the three things I wanted to highlight were the six, the three, and the two. And it turns out that the six, the three, and the two are the only things you can find here. There are other sixes. There is a six here, but this six, from the perspective of an ant, is the same as that one. There is another two right here, but again, from the perspective of an ant, these two twos are the same. So the name of this pattern is 632. Conway calls it 632, and I suppose maybe later I will tell you what the ant thinks, because right now I just want to go through the list of patterns. Okay, I did another three of the 10. Here's a pattern. So this one was taken, so David Kashdan is a very famous American mathematician, now Israeli. He immigrated to Israel a while ago. In fact, originally Russian. I visited him, took a picture of the floor tiles in his bathroom. So the floor tiles here, well, you can see the pattern. There is a two in the middle of every white tile. In the middle of every white tile, you can turn around by 180 degrees and you come back to where you were. But there are also two fours. There is a four in the middle of every black tile, and a four where every, in the vertices where four white tiles meet. Okay? So this pattern is called 442, and I suppose Conway also calls it 442. And there are no reflections here, because, well, for example, if you look at the fans around each of these vertices, they're all oriented the same way. So there cannot be reflections. Okay, I promised 10 different features, and we've gone through six. So I owe you another four. Here are three of them. So we were taking a trip with friends, and they had a Mercury sable. And on the wall of the Mercury sable, there was a speaker. And this is the speaker taken from nearby. You know, from this is a close-up of the door speaker on a Mercury sable. Okay? Well, here is a three rotation by 120 degrees around this point gets you back where you were. here is a 6, and here is a 2. But these 6s and 3s and 2s are different from the 6 and the 3 and the 2 of before, because this pattern also has reflection lines. In fact, there is a reflection line through this 3. Not just one, but here is one in particular. Okay? There is a reflection line through the 6. And there is a reflection line through the 2. Well, again, several, but in particular, there is one. Okay? So this is a new type of local feature. It's, well, around these 3, you could rotate by 120 degrees, but you could also reflect. Okay? So the new types are those, well, 3 with a mirror, the bar, I suppose, indicates the mirror, the 6 with a mirror, and the 2 with a mirror. And here is another sample. So this is where my two hobbies coincided. So this is my son. He's much older now, much bigger now. And he's climbing on some gym thing in the Jerusalem Zoo. And what do we see here? Well, we see a 2-bar right here. In the sort of each of these links is a 2-bar, because you can turn it by 180 degrees and you came back to where you are. But there is also a mirror going through it. In fact, 2. But there will always be 2 if you can rotate by 180 degrees. So this is the 2-bar, but we've already seen a 2-bar. But there is also a 4-bar here. In fact, there are 2 distinct 4-bars. There is a 4-bar in the middle of each ring, and a 4-bar in the middle of each funny domain between 4 rings. Okay? So we also have 4 bars, we also have 2, 6, 3s, and 4s, and M and G, and these are the 10 local features. And I suppose if I wanted to add it to my list, I would be adding here 4, 4, 2, bar, 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 and also 6, 3, 2, that's the previous one, with bars. And Conway calls them 4, 4, 2, but he doesn't like to put bars, so he puts the star, which indicates a mirror ahead of the 4, 4, 2. So star, star, so this would be star 6, 3, 2. Okay? And I'm not yet telling you what ants living on these spaces think. It's a bit, it's kind of interesting. What would they think? So, you know, I'll keep it for a tiny bit later, but I want to state the overall theorem. So the overall theorem is that in the plane, there are only 17, exactly 17, types of symmetries that you can find. Okay? We already saw the empty set, which in the Conway notation is 0. We've seen mirror, mirror, which is star, star. We've seen MG, we've seen GG. We haven't yet seen 2, 2, 2, 2, but now you know what it means. If you see one, you recognize it. And then there are also 3, 3, 3, 4, 4, 2, 6, 3, 2, 2-bar, 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 3-bar, 3-bar, well, so on, so on. Then there are also funny ones like 4, 2-bar, but there is no 4-bar, 2. You never find a 4-bar, 2, and this is a provable theorem. But what does 4-2-bar means? It means an order 4 rotation somewhere with no mirrors going through it, and an order 2 rotation that does have a mirror going through it. There is likewise a 3-3-bar, a 2-2-bar, 2-bar, a 2-2, and a mirror that does not go through either one of these 2s, and a 2-2-G, which is a 2 and 2, and a glide reflection that does not go through any of the rotations. So here are 18 patterns. And since I told you that there are only 17, one pattern must be repeating here. Which one is it? No way to answer except analyzing each one and figuring out what it is. So this is the pattern on a shirt worn by my sister-in-law. So it's sort of half-transparent shirt, and these are sort of holes, but you cannot see it. Anyway, what do we have here? What do we see? So which of the 17 is this one? So just name features that you can see. Yeah, I can see a mirror through this line, but let me tell you that the convention is to first list the rotations, because you have to distinguish, you have to separate rotations that have a mirror through them and rotations that don't have a mirror through them. And if you write a three bar, it will automatically say that there is a mirror, so you will not name that mirror again. Okay? So are there any rotations here?
Fours.
What?
There's a four.
In fact, it's tempting to think that there is a rotation of by four, but there isn't. You see, because these stars here have only six petals, I don't know what to call it. So in fact, horizontal here is different from vertical. So there cannot be a 90 degrees rotation because the horizontal side is different from the vertical side.
So the twos.
So there are only twos. There is a 2 here, a 2 here, a 2 here, and a 2 here. And they are clearly distinct. They are clearly different from each other. You see, this 2 is not the same as this 2, because this 2 is in the middle of a horizontal bar, and this 2 is in the middle of a vertical bar, and horizontal is different from vertical. So this pattern here is... I don't know where to put it. Well, I guess I'll continue here. So this pattern here is what I would call a 2-2-2-2. Oops, no. Because each of these twos has a mirror through it. This one has a mirror going this way. It also actually goes through that two and also this one. This one has a mirror going both this way and that way. This one has a mirror going both this way and that way. So they all have mirrors going through them. So it's in fact a 2-bar, 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 2-bar. Conway will call it a star 2-2-2-2. And again, I don't have time to tell you what an ant... You know what? I do have time to tell you, because it's actually really easy. What is the fundamental domain? The fundamental domain is a rectangle like this, which is a quarter of the big rectangles. Because the rotations, like rotation around... Because all the other symmetries... Well, because one quarter is enough to recover the big thing. And this rectangle has reflecting edges on all sides. So in fact, it is this. Okay? From the perspective of an ant, it walks out, comes back in any of four directions. So this would be a rectangular piece of glass. Okay? What's the next? This is too hard and I only have a minus... you know what? Let's go through this one very, very, very quickly. Because this one is strange. So, it's a bit hard to see. I'm sorry. Maybe I should zoom out a bit. Again, it's a tiling pattern seen in Massachusetts somewhere. What do we see here? So, we're out of time. I'll just tell you the answer. So there is a 3 here and no mirror going through it. There is a 3 here, but there is a mirror going through it. Like this line is a mirror going through this 3. So this is a 3-3 bar, and Conway will call it 1-3 before the mirrors and another 3 after the mirrors. Okay? I'm out of time, partially my fault, but here's a pattern of Alhambra, Spain. Here's a pattern in Little Italy. Here's a, again, a tiling pattern I forgot where. Here's a tiling at the wall tiles on the bathroom in a science museum in California, so on. I leave it to you to analyze each of them, and I apologize for making mistakes. And if I had more time, I'd go through sort of an algorithm, but you don't really need it. I think it's clear what to do. And I will tell you that if we were monkeys living in three dimensions, there would be 230 different worlds we could be living in. And again, my apologies, and thank you. Questions, comments? Yes.
So how do you know there's exactly 17?
Well, you read the books.